y'all have gonna have singing? I said, yes, sir. We got here about the middle of the service. He came to me and said, this ain't no saint. Come on, Brother Simpson, get me out of here. Give me some.
You're doing good, Rev. Thank you, Reverend.
You're welcome, Dr. Simpson. Professor.
Whatever you want to call me. I do have a PhD, so I guess that could be. But anyway, that's like the curl in the pig's tail. It don't help the ham at all. Boy, I enjoy being down here. Your preacher, ever since I've known him, he's just been wild. And that's all right. If you're wild about the right things. I tell you what's the truth now. I told Terry, my brother back there, he drove me down, and I'm glad he did. He's a real help to me. And I said, I am nervous. I've been preaching 50-something years, and here I am nervous. I'm as nervous as a naked man at a mosquito convention. That's pretty nervous. Oh, I'm as nervous as a wooden-legged man at a chainsaw convention. Nervous, bad. Bad nervous. But anyway, I've really got a bird. You know, I'm 78, and I know, you know, somewhere down the road I'll check out of here. But in my study, I've got I think it's made out of copper. There's an old horse with an Indian in it, and they're both of them just drooped over, and it says, stay in the saddle till the end of the trail. And that's what I want to do. I want to stay in the saddle. I'm not going to retire. Dr. B.B. Caldwell, somebody said, Dr. Caldwell, you're going to retire? He said, retire? He said, I'm going to refire. But I told my wife, I said, if I'm well enough to go to church, might as well preach. And so I've been at Bright Light. I'm in my 37th year. And the pastor that started it stayed there 37 years. Now here I am, and it's 37 years. So I said, got to be a pretty good church to put up with two preachers for 37 years. But, I mean, it was grounded right, and I got a good church. We had a split. Well, I'll just tell you, we've had four splits since I've been there. And the last one really hurt us. I mean, they really, really hurt us. But anyway, and then COVID hit us on top of that. But we're rebuilding back. I've got about five to baptize now. So when I get home Saturday, we have that Operation Saturation, and I'm going to be out there. And what we do, we go out one Saturday, and we have these little, you know, doorknob hangers, and we'll put something in there on 50 houses, and then 2 weeks later, we'll go back and visit those 50 houses. And we hadn't had a whole lot of success, but I was down in Baton Rouge, Louisiana years ago in Jimmy Swagger country, 90% Catholic, and I met a Baptist preacher down at Camp Zion. And he had me in he built six churches inside the city limits of Baton Rouge. I said, how in the world you do that? I said, I want to know. He said, preacher, every Saturday I knock on 50 doors and give out tracts. He said, I hardly ever get anybody like that. But he said, God promised me that if I'd go after those I didn't get, he would send me some I didn't go after. And that works. And we get out and visit, and then all of a sudden somebody shows up. I got Santa Claus coming to my church now. I'm serious. His name is Danny Neese, and he's Santa Claus for the city of Concord. He's retired, and you know, just does it. But if I hurt your feelings. I've got something I can say about Santa Claus, but I won't. I'll try to be real nice. I'll try to be real nice. I want to read one verse, and then I'll pray. The Bible said in Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Father, I pray tonight that you'd help us. I really feel a burden tonight, God. I really, really, Lord, I'm serious, God. I need some help tonight. I pray that you strengthen my body. Give me clearness of mind and clearness of voice. And whatever you do, well, thank you for Jesus' sake. Give it to Jesus' sake. Amen. I told you I was nervous. My boy Andy, when he was 17 years old, he had gone out west and had already surrendered to the mission field. He thought he was going to go to Wyoming, but he finally wound up in Montana. But before he got out there, he was dating this girl, and he had a wreck and was thrown from the vehicle and was paralyzed from here down. And then he married the girl, and one day he come rolling that wheelchair down the aisle, just squalling. I said, "What's the matter with you?" He said, "I got to go to Montana." He said, "My heart's in Montana." And said, I said, "Son, you're in a wheelchair." He said, "I got to go." And so he, you know, went on deputation and raised support and went to outside of Billings, Montana. And while he was out there, he started three churches. And one of them, Galilee Baptist Church, is doing fine, real good right now. And I don't know if the other two are doing anything, but he started three. And this has been like, you know, years ago. But while he was working out there, his wife decided she didn't want to be a missionary for him and left him. And he called me up and he said, "Yeah, I realize I just can't do it." And he said, for a little while he just got off track, you know, got real discouraged, you know, and then he called me one day and said, I sent you my license and ordination. He sent that the next day. But he said, "I still want to help the churches out here." And he said, "I can teach." He said, "I can teach them how to sing." And boy, he was a soul winner. And I remember when he was building churches, I called him out one day and on a Saturday morning. Now, notice he's in a wheelchair, paralyzed from here to that. Now, he's got all his arm strength and everything. And I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm out soul winning. I'm out visiting." I said, "Is it cold?" He said, "Pretty cold, 5 inches of snow on the ground." Lord God, smote my heart. Here's my boy out there paralyzed in the snow, knocking on doors. I want to tell you something. You know what I believe with all my heart? I'm just going to be honest with you. It just seems like I don't have a lot of folks don't have a burden for souls like they are. Years ago, I told the Lord, I said, "Lord, everybody that comes by me, I said, if you would remind me of this, I said, Lord, just remind me, are you going to let that person die and go to hell?" Boy, I'll tell you, we've been out, you know, eating and visiting, home shop and everything. You know what I do? I'll stop and I said, "Where do you go to church? Have you been saved, born again?" You know, just about everybody I talked to is lost. Everybody I talked to is lost. And the fields are white in the harvest and the laborers are few. And Andy stayed out there and a year ago, he called me and he said, "I'm coming home." I said, "Okay." And he said, "I've got something wrong. I don't know what it is." And I said, "Okay." And so he came home and the doctors out there have been treating him. I've been grieving for a year. But anyway, the doctor's been treating him for infection. And so he come home and I got him an appointment with my doctor. In 24 hours, they found out that he had bladder cancer in the fourth stage. They said he'd probably live 3 months at the most. And I'm telling you, just devastated us. You always think that you'll go before the charity. I always think that. And we looked after him, and I said, "Y'all just stay here at the house." I went and bought him an acre of land. Was going to build a house. He made it, you know, but he didn't make it. I can't hardly tell it. But anyway, he stayed there. We had had a hospital bed. My wife looked at him, and he lost down to where he was just like a skeleton with skin straight across it. But right down to the very last, boy, he had witnessed the people. Hospice came in, he'd witnessed those girls. And even though he knew he couldn't preach, he taught Sunday school and she taught singing out there in a church outside of a building about an hour away. So when he died, we had the funeral July the 3rd. I'll tell you what's so bad about that. That's my wife. My wife, me and my wife's wedding anniversary. So every year, When we have a wedding anniversary, we also are reminded that our boy died of cancer and was, you know, had his funeral service that day. Well, I don't agree with all this, but he wanted to be cremated. And I don't know how to settle all that. But anyway, and he said, well, so they cremated him. And I said, why you want to? He said, I want to go. He said, I want to go up there to the headwaters of the river that goes down by those churches that I started. And he said, I want you to take my ashes, his daughter, Laura and her husband, took the ashes, got in the canoe, and we were sitting there watching, and my whole family went up there. And he went over there to the headwaters of that river and scattered the ashes, and they floated down, of course, by the churches that he had started. Well, I'll tell you something. I found out, you know, I found that a long time ago, and I'm a psychologist. Listen, I got a PhD in psychology. I mean, I'm a licensed, you know, counselor. But I want to tell you something, it's different when it's your job. I mean, it's different. And I always taught this, that there's a grieving is a process. And there's five things you have to go through. And the last one is acceptance. And you say, and my wife, she just about grieved herself to death. She got AFib, and she's getting better. Longer ago, the better it gets. But anyway, I want to talk to you a little bit tonight of how I made it through. Now, listen, I believe this without a shadow of doubt. I don't care what kind of trouble, I don't care what kind of grief you're having, I want to tell you how you can get out of it when somebody believes. There's nothing like it. Listen, I preach in meetings. I don't know how many hundreds of people I've seen get saved in meetings, but there's nothing like winning somebody to the Lord yourself. I it's just about every week I'll have somebody call. Is this Brother Simpson? Well, I called. I didn't know if you're still living or not. Yeah, I'm still living. Bless your heart. And, I just want to call you and let you know, this date, 25 years ago, you was preaching the Bible in our church, and I got saved. Hey! I got a little boy. I was down in Texas in a meeting, and it broke out and had 65 people saved that week. And, the preacher's wife got saved, and man, it got on. And this has been like 1985, somewhere in that. And last year, I had somebody call, and I answered the phone, and I could tell it was a young boy, and I said, yes, sir. He said, is this Ronnie Simpson? I said, yes, it is. He said, I didn't know if you were still living or not. Everybody thinks I'm dead. My children want me to die. Daddy, I want your tractor if something happens to you. Daddy, I want Mama's necklace. I want her, jewelry. I want your books. I said, fill up that hole. I ain't dead yet. But anyway, he called me up and he said, I just want to know if you're still living. He said, I was a little boy when we had that revival down here in Texas. And he said, I never have got over it. And he said, I'd like to get in it one more time. I said, son, I would too. Amen. But I want to tell you something. There's nothing like winning somebody personal to the Lord. The Bible said, he that winneth souls is wise. The Bible said it will shine as the stars. Amen. And Daniel chapter 12, if you have me to sign your Bible, that'll be one of the verses I'll write down, Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. And I believe in personal soul winning. Now, I'm not a hyper-Calvinist. I'm 10,000 miles away from that. But I'll tell you what we'll be doing Saturday. And I've been doing this ever since I got saved. I get out there and knock on a door. You don't have to knock on a door. Everywhere you go, there's somebody lost and on the road to hell. And we need to be personal soul winners. He said, I thought this camp meeting. Well, you have to talk to the Lord about it. I argued with him too. But he told me to preach this. But anyway, I want to take that verse. I want to show you how that I've got through the grieving process. Is that if you'll witness somebody and they get saved, for a little while you'll forget all your troubles. There's nothing like seeing somebody born again, washed in the blood, heaven bound with the hammer down. Amen! I believe every one of us today. Now, listen, I like camp meetings. I'll shout with you. Listen, I preach. But I'm going to tell you something. This world's dying and going to hell, folks. And some of us need to get off our blessed assurance and get out here and win somebody to the Lord. You say, I can't do it. I've heard that 5,000 times. Yes, you can. You can talk about sports. You can talk about politics. You can talk about everything. What about talking to somebody about the Lord? I believe in a personal. I believe in a personal soul winner. I'm doing acrostic PERSONAL, and personal. You got to be peculiar. Now, I'm not talking. I've seen some peculiar people. I saw a guy the other day. Had his hair parted down the middle and big old black glasses, and he cross-eyed. He looked peculiar. But I'm not talking about that kind of peculiar. I do know we have the word peculiar in the Bible talks about that is a position that we have with God. I'm glad that we're surrounded by the power of God and we are a peculiar people unto Him. But the other word peculiar, it means that we ought to be in our practice. I mean, we ought to be different from the rest of the world. Amen. We sure had. You know, I'm just saying that if you don't pray and tithe and go to church and read your Bible and weep over souls and love the people of God, you're not peculiar. I want to tell you something. If you can walk somebody drinking or somebody that looks like their life's about gone and it don't burden you, there's something wrong. There ought to be something about us that is different, that is peculiar. My wife is a great soul winner. Me and her have knocked on many doors and gone and seen the people and won people to the Lord. Boy, I'm telling you, she'll get on. I'm telling you, I've seen her do this more than one time. We'll be having a revival, have a service, and I'll see her get up and go out. I asked her after service, I said, what were you doing? I said, well, you just preached on hell. And said, I thought about Jerry Wayne and said, I just thought I'd go down and talk to him and see if I could get him saved. You know where she went? She went to the beer joint. My wife went to the beer joint and went up there and knocked on the door and the man come down and said, what do you want, ma'am? She said, is Jerry Wayne in there? Said, yes. Said, I come down here to talk to him about Jesus. Praise God and the Lamb forever. That'll help you get over your grieving and your problems. Just see somebody saved by the good grace of God. But you know, my wife and I, we was out knocking on doors down in Page in South Carolina, and we just young couple. I was 22 when I got saved, and I took a church. She was 18. I didn't know anything about it. But, you know, I had a burden for people that's dying and going to hell. And we knocked on the door, and the lady was real gracious and let us in. And I began to talk to her about the Lord, and I mean, just like that, she was just eating it up. I mean, I could tell that God was dealing with her. I thought my soul, this woman's going to get saved. And then all of a sudden I said, where do you work? And she said, I work in a mill down here in Page in South Carolina, named The Mill. Well, I said, one of our choir members sings in that, works in that place. I said, what's her name? I said, Betty Sharon. Betty Sharon goes to your church and she sings in your choir? I said, yes, ma'am. Said, if that's the kind of members you've got, I don't want to come anywhere near your church. Said, that woman's got the most foul mouth I've ever heard in my life. You know what? She weren't very peculiar. And we didn't win that woman to the Lord. You said, did that discourage you? No, sir, it did not discourage me. You know what I started doing in my first church? I was running about 70 to 90. I mean, they'd been there for like 80 years, and they had never done anything. And the last preacher was an old, dead, dried-up preacher, and they called me down there, and I preached on hell about every other service. And so I got to think about I need to. They didn't have a visitation. They didn't know anything about soul winning, and so I got them in and did some role playing. In fact, my daughter Cindy told me the other day. She said, Daddy, I remember when you'd have those men come to the church and I come to the parsonage, you'd go through role playing and showing how to win somebody to the Lord. They didn't know anything about how to win somebody to the Lord. And we was down there, I had old Troy Plowler, he was my song leader, and Roy Jordan and Tommy Long and myself, and I was sitting there, we was doing role playing, showed them how to get saved, how to pray. Now you have to be, I know all that's real, you know, cut and dried, but you got to ask God to put the Holy Ghost on it. Amen. And so we got through that day, and I'd gone through two or three sessions, and we're getting ready out to go out of the parsonage. I said, what's that? Who's that? Who lives in that house down there? Oh, that's a family that moved in there about a year ago. I said, you know their name? Said, oh, yeah. Says, last name's Hudson. I said, have y'all been? No, we haven't. I said, they say, are they going to? We don't know. I said, get in the car. We're going right now. And I didn't know. You're not supposed to walk in four people on some people. You'll scare them to death. I mean, it's bad somebody tried to talk to you about the Lord with two people, one person. You bring four men in there, and they're scared to death. And I went in there, and I knocked on the door. Miss Hudson came to the door. I said, Miss Hudson, my name is Ronnie Simpson. And I told her, I said, we just come by to see where you folks go to church, what's your religious background. Oh, we don't go to church. I said, are you saved? He said, no, we're not saved. And I went in, there are husbands in there. And so, you know what I did? I started talking to her husband first, and he didn't want to have anything to do with it. I said, Miss Hudson, would you like to get saved? She said, I sure would. I led her to the Lord, led her two boys to the Lord, led her daughter to the Lord. You know what they did? They came the next Sunday and joined the church, and I baptized all of them. You know what? I forgot about all my problems for a long time because I was peculiar and wanted to win somebody to the Lord, win somebody to the Lord. Now, you said you get discouraged when that woman in your church lived like the devil and nobody had any confidence in her. No, sir, I didn't. You know what I did? I started training my people to get out here. Now, let me tell you, listen. Hey, listen, I'm 78 years old. I was 22 back then. Back then, independent Baptists were in storefront buildings and they was winning people left and right. But now we got a nice building, we got a nice car, nice carpet, and we forgot about a world that's dying and going to hell. Excuse me, I'm going to preach. You look like me like that, I'm going to preach 3 hours tonight. Amen. I feel good. And my name's not James Brown either, all right? Amen. But you know, we got to praying, and we got to knocking on doors, and a revival broke out. And, well, I'll tell you, I can't tell everything, but revival broke out, and in 2 years' time, I baptized 152, and we went from 70 in Sunday school to over 300. Why? Because we was peculiar. It's because we wanted to see some people saved by the grace of God. So to be a personal soul winner, you got to be peculiar. I'm telling you, if you'll do what I'm preaching you tonight, and you get out there and win somebody the Lord, I tell you, it'll turn your world upside down. I don't care how big your problems are, it will not bother you as much as it'll be washed away when that person gets saved. Personal, E stands for earnest. You know, Jesus was earnest about it. He set his face as a flint. The Bible says over there in Luke 22:44, and being in agony, pray more earnestly, and sweat was it great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Which way is north? That way? That way? You know, God dwells in the north. Can I wave my boy? Hey, Andy, how you doing? The Bible says we have a great cloud of witnesses. I said, Andy, I said, the way you won souls, and I said, the way, Andy, I've got over you dying with bladder cancer is I'm out here trying my best to get people saved by the good grace of God. Hey, you know what? You got to be earnest. You got to be earnest. I remember I had a lady in my church. I was preaching about getting under a burden for your loved ones. And her husband, Harold Brock, was an old, he worked in a mill down there, you know, where they sawed up logs and all that stuff, lumber yard. And he told me later on, he said, I drank every day of my life. He said, I couldn't go by the liquor store unless I bought some. And I was preaching one day about getting under a burden for your loved ones. And I looked down there and the altar was filled up. And I looked over there and here's Miss Clara Brock. She comes Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And she was squalling. I said, she's a lost church member. I thought she was under conviction. And I just went down to Miss Clara and I said, Miss Clara, are you okay? Are you saved? Oh, yes, I'm saved. I said, why are you weeping? Said, you preached about getting a burden for your loved ones. And said, my boy's lost. And said, my husband's lost. And said, I hadn't really cared much about him. Hadn't really done much. Hadn't prayed for him. But I made God a vow today that I was going to pray for Harold every day that he got saved. But you know what I found out over the years? When you get desperate, if you really get earnest and desperate to get them saved, God will save them. You know why your loved ones are not saved yet? You're not really earnest. You'll eat with them. You'll shop with them. You'll go on vacation with them. And you don't even bow your head and ask the Lord to bless food when you eat with them. I'll tell you something. You get earnest. I'll tell you what God will do. He'll start working on them. Well, she said, preacher, I'll pray and you come talk to Harold. Well, I went down there so much. You know what he said? He told somebody, the preacher's flirting with my wife. Well, she's about 45. If I was going to flirt with somebody, a 22-year-old boy, weren't going to flirt with a 45-year-old woman. Know what it was? He was under conviction. And I talked to him about, well, I'm not ready to get saved yet. One Saturday night, he told me later on, he said, I'd come home from work. He lived within 2 miles of where he worked. He'd come home for dinner. I said, when he got home, said, the meal was on the table. Said, one plate. And I said, Clara, are you not going to eat? She said, no, Harold. I'm under a burden for you. And I'm going to go in there and pray while you're eating. He said a lot of times he'd wake up at night and he'd reach over there and Sarah weren't in the bed. He got real quiet and said he could hear her praying in the living room. Oh, Lord, don't let Harold go to hell. Well, I'll tell you something, that's wild. Something's going to get a hold of you, amen? And one Saturday night, about 2 o'clock, he called me up, and he was so drunk he couldn't hardly talk. And they slur their speech and everything. I said, Harold, what's the matter? He said, I need to get saved. Well, I jumped in my car and run down there to their house, and the door was open, and I went in there and I said, Harold, you want to get saved? Yes, I do. And I show him how to get saved. He didn't. I don't believe God can save me. I believe I sin too much. I'm just an old wicked. I said, that's the kind of people God loves to save. And I talked to him until the sun came up. And when the sun came up, it was the same old thing. I just don't believe God will save me. I'm too mean. I said, I'll tell you what, Harold, you get up and you take a bath and you get your clothes on and you come to church this morning and you listen to me preach. And when I give the invitation, you come forward. And I said, God will save you by the good grace of God. All right, I'll be there. Well, I got my car and went to the house. He got in his car and went to the bootlegger. He bought a fifth. I believe a fifth of vodka or something. And he drank all day Sunday. You know what he thought he could do? Drown Holy Ghost conviction. You can't drown Holy Ghost conviction. I was under conviction for 30 days. Boy, you can't hide it. You can run and run, but God knows where you live. God knows where you sleep. God knows where you go to work. God knows what you eat. And God will deal with you with conviction. Well, I thought, I wonder why. When Clara came, she said, I don't know where he's at. And that night, we was singing, and old Joe had just got saved about 2 weeks, 2 months before that. And they said, don't go see old Joe. Said he hates preachers. He'll tell y'all. I said, let's go get him. You know who y'all try to get saved? The meanest man in town.
Amen, brother.
And I went over and I talked to old Joe. And he said, I'll come next Sunday. He came next Sunday, brought his wife and his girls. And all of them got saved and joined the church. Amen. Well, here we had a door out the side of the pulpit over here. And there's a door and a covering out there. And Joe went out there and talked to somebody, came back in. He said, preacher, you need to go out there. I said, who is that? He said, Harold Brock's out there. I said, what does he want? He said, he wants to get saved. And he was so drunk, he's holding on that post like that. I said, Harold, what you want? He said, I need to get saved. I said, well, turn loose that post and get in here and we'll see what we can do. Amen. He went in there and fell on that altar and got gloriously saved. I said, you sit on the front pew. And I said, I'm going to preach. When I get through preaching, I want you to tell everybody what God did for you. Okay. Had 7 more got saved that night. Hey, man, I'm going to tell you something that's true. We're having a time. Listen, you don't have you forget about your troubles when people's getting saved that you are personally one to the Lord. And he got up and I said, Harold, I said, what happened to you tonight? He said, I got saved. And he said, I don't know if this church will have me or not. But he said, I'd like to get baptized and join this church. Did you know he lived for God the rest of his days? And every once in a while when I get discouraged, I just ride down to old Harold's church house and talk to him about the night he got sick. It'll help you better than it's better than any kind of antidepressant. It's better than any marijuana. Amen. It's better than anything you take if you win somebody to the Lord. But we've got to be earnest. We've got to be earnest. P-E-R. I'm talking about something that's helped me get through. Every day, I think about Andy. He wrote, when he had his wreck, the Goodwill Industry gave him a $14,000 scholarship to be a computer programmer. He wrote all of our lessons. I mean, all of our programming. Wrote some of the lessons. I wrote 106 lessons, homework, and Andy helped me. And every time I see the school, every time I see his coat, every time I think about him, I about can't hardly stand it. Well, you don't sit around and you say, what do you do? You do like I'm going to do Saturday morning, get up and go out there and try to win somebody to the Lord. Yeah. Amen. I'm telling you, you got to be peculiar. You got to be earnest. You got to be ready. I mean, they're ready to be saved. You know where Jesus did? He witnessed to people out on the ship. He witnessed to them in the housetop. He witnessed to him in the tree. He witnessed to him in the curb. He witnessed to him at the roadside. Every time he met somebody, he was ready to meet him. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, help me to be ready. And I said, Lord, if I see somebody, said, remind me Are you going to let that person die and go to hell? I talked to a lady right on here, right on the store, and I said, I'd like you to come to the meeting. I work 7 days a week. I've been praying for her. I got lost people down. I've got a prayer Bible. And I use the first 4 or 5 pages that are blank, and I write down people's names that I'm praying for. I'm glad God's saving some of them people. In fact, can I just say something? When I get home this weekend, and I get up there and we do that, I'm going to go see an old drunk that I've been dealing with. And every time I go, he's asleep. And he said, he's asleep, 10 o'clock, he's asleep. I said, what time does he wake up? He said, 1 o'clock. You know where I'm going to be Saturday? I'm going to be at his house. 1 o'clock. And I believe old Gerald's going to get saved by the grace of God. His daughter just got saved. And then his daughter brought a woman and 3 kids, and they got saved. Amen. Every time I see them, I just get all excited. I'm getting excited about going home and winning over Gerald to the Lord. Amen. And you got to be ready. You got to be ready. You got to be steadfast. Unmovable, always abound in the work of the Lord. There can be times, dry times. There may be times that nobody will listen. But you just keep on going. Just keep on going. I remember years ago, I was at Galilee Baptist Church. I started it. And stayed there 11 years. And I had some folks that worked in a mill. And they said, somebody needs to go see Murray Adams. Said, Murray said he's married, but he said he flirts with women and he drinks, and said he's going to die lost without God. So I said, why don't you visit him? We're scared of him. He cuss. He drinks. And we're scared of him. And I said, honey, you ready to go see? I got my wife to go witness to a man that they said was the meanest man in the community. And I went in there and started talking to old Murray. You know what he's doing? He's sitting there with a Budweiser, and he was cussing this preacher, cussing his church, and just every other word. I mean, everything I tried to talk to him about getting saved and all that, I mean, he just come up a cussing and telling all kind of stuff. I said, well, Murray, there's one thing. I can't win you to the Lord, but I said, I can pray for you. Well, you can pray if you want to. I said, I will. And I bowed right down beside his chair. I said, Lord, here's Murray Adams. I said, he's lost without God. I said, he's going to hell. He don't want to get saved. I said, take him to hell tonight. I said, put him in hell tonight. I said, burn him tonight, Lord. Amen. I got up. My little wife, she was walking up behind me and said, I can't believe you told him that. I said, well, you heard him cuss preacher, cuss God. I said, you're going to go to hell. I'm just praying God to take him in and let him go to hell where he wants to go. My wife said, I can't believe you did that. But anyway, the next week, it rained cats and dogs. You know, when it rains cats and dogs in England, that's when it rains so much you let your cat and dog in the house. That's where they get it, cat and dog. But anyway, that's a little side note. But it rained, the creek was flooding, and the Galilee was up here on the hill, and we had 10 acres, and all that had been freshly plowed. And the creek was out of the banks, and I had a half pit and half boxer bulldog. Well, I'm in there. We had a family devotion, and we do that. We still do that. And we pray with our kids and tell them about the Lord. And we just said amen and started to go to bed. I heard my old dog go, and I heard somebody say, I didn't know who it was, but he was screaming, the dog's eating me up. And I went to the back door and had a window. I looked. Here's a guy. He had a hair down, long hair down his face, and he's muddy and had a long beard and everything. And he's screaming, preacher, preacher, you see me. And my dog had him by the leg just chewing him up. I pulled the dog off him. I said, come on in, Murray. Come on in. I said, what in the world are you doing? I can't hardly tell it. He said, I was over there in the chair. And he said, I was drinking that Budweiser. And said, I remember what you prayed. Murray's a lost sinner, drunk. He don't care about God. Just take him home, put him in. And I said, oh, God, you might answer that preacher's prayer tonight. I don't want to go to hell. And he got in a car and come. And we got 2 driveways there at Galilee. And the first driveway takes you down to the parsonage. The second driveway goes nowhere. And so I looked out the window before the dog got to barking. And I saw a car going around and around and around in the parking lot. and then left. Lights went out, left. I thought, that's funny. And then all of a sudden, here's a dog a-barking, and Murray's a-squalling and a-hollering. And I said, Murray, what's the matter? And he said, well, I was over there, and I told my wife, I said, I need to get saved. And said, I went down here and got in that second driveway, and said, I said, you can't get there from here. He said, now you tell me. And said, I started to go back home. And I said, no, God said, if you go back home tonight, you're going to die and go to hell. He said, I got out of my car and come across that field. I said, we just plowed it up. It's knee deep in mud. He said, now you tell me. And he said, then I fell in the creek and almost drowned. And when I come out of the creek, your dog had me by the leg. He said, preach, you reckon God will save me? I said, he sure will. I'm feeling mighty good right now. I'm feeling mighty good. I'm telling you, there's nothing like winning somebody personally to the Lord. Some of you got somebody on your heart right now. If they get saved, you'd have five choir spells backwards. About getting excited. Now you'd forget about your problems. You'd forget about the trouble you're going through just winning somebody. The Bible teaches us that when people get saved, they're rejoicing in heaven. Hey, if there's rejoicing in heaven, don't you think you'll rejoice a little bit too? Oh, yes. Well, that old Murray, he got saved that night. Amen. Belonged to an old dried up Presbyterian church. I'm glad God saves Presbyterians. I talked to a man today. I said, what's your religious background? He said, Jehovah's false witness. I said, so am I. He said, Jehovah's witness. I said, I'm Jehovah's witness. I said, really, I'm independent Baptist. I said, you got to get born again. Lost without God. They're everywhere. Preacher, I ain't never seen so many lost people. I ought to start maybe asking in here, people say. But I never seen so many lost people in my life in this area. Does it burden you that they're on their way to the devil's hell? We got to be peculiar. We got to be earnest. We got to be ready. We got to be steadfast. We got to be optimistic. I carry cracks, and I'll go through McDonald's. I'll go to Walmart. I'll go to Tractor Supply, Harbor Freight. That's where Leo Pat's coming. And God will say, are you going to let that lady die and go to hell? I said, no, I'm not. And I'll give my track, talk to my Lord. I don't say, are you saved or lost? Everybody in Concord saved. I said, what? Tell me about what's your religious background? They don't know anything. And I'll leave a track with them, talk to them about the Lord. And we've had people saved left and right. But you got to be optimistic. You got to really be optimistic. It seemed like, what does it rain on visitation night? It seemed like every Thursday night then it seemed like it rained. I got that night, I was so discouraged. Man, I went to school. Now listen. I got there that night and I was the only one. A little bit, here come a choir leader up, old Lord Cloud. Oh, Troy. He did soul winner. After we won Miss Hutchins, he started winning people to the Lord, and he had soul winners in the Testament. And every time he'd win somebody, Lord, he said, would you write your name down in my Bible? Write your name down in my Bible. Well, when he died, Lenore's wife called me and said, we want you to help in a funeral. I was in the bank a little bit. I said, I feel weird. I said, can I get his New Testament? So one of your testament. He said, which one you got saved? What he done, he filled them up. Did he go get another? I said, get it. And so he gave me one, and I preached his funeral that next day or so. And I told his children, he didn't have a little house, probably half an acre, didn't have much. Just an old four-four, just an old country boy. And I told the children, I said, you know, children, your daddy didn't leave you much financially. But I said, he left you six New Testaments that's filled with names of people that he wanted to believe. And I had the one that Lenore gave me, and I said, I went through this New Testament and counted it. And I said, in this one New Testament alone, Troy won 185 people. He probably won more than people. Well, he said, preacher, I'd have somebody right up beside me in the car at the stoplight. I look over, I'm wondering if they're going to hell. I will tell you something, I've had a burden like that. When you get a burden like that, listen, you don't want to eat much of this world's good. You're working yourself to death, and you're miserable, and you could be a soul winner and shout the victory and jump, can you say, man?
take a circle. Praise the Lord. But you got to be optimistic. But anyway, Troy was there that night. I said, well, it's raining. I went off. Nobody showed up. To go for it. I said, I've got a business card here. And I said, it says Steve Rory and wife, family. I said, Troy, let's just go over and see them. It's raining, cold, wind's blowing. I said, let's just go over there and see them, and then we'll go to that. I was, man, you're talking about preacher. When the preacher gets back in, and I said, we'll go see them, and then we'll go to that. I went over to the house. You know what they was doing? They was setting out tomatoes in the rain. They came out of the garden. Every one of them mud up to their knees. Steve, his wife, Gail, and his mother, and his brother-in-law, Gene, and his wife, and his other brother, and they come out of the garden, and they went out there, and there's hose and everybody all getting mud off of them. I said, can I talk to you just a little bit, Steve? He said, sure. We got in there, and they just made a circle on the floor and sat down, and I said, I just got a question, then we'll go. I'm not going to bother you. I know you're tired. I said, Steve, have you ever been saved? He said, no, I'm not saved, and none of us are saved. He just put the whole crowd in. They didn't. Everybody's lost. You know what I did that night? I sat down and one Steve, Gail, and his mom, and his sister, brother-in-law, and his other brother. And we got back in the car. And a lot of times, you know, people make confessions. I said, now what you need to do is you come to church Sunday morning, join the church, and you get baptized. He said, okay. Guess what? When I got to church, that's already there. And they joined the church, got baptized. Later on, he became one of my deacons. Who helped me build buildings? I'm telling you what's true. You know, there's money in that preacher's mouth. You realize that? And he made one of the best men that I've ever had. And Gail, every time you see her, she said, preacher. She sent me a note the other day. You know, I don't text me because I don't never read it. But Fran said, you need to see this text. And Gail said, preacher, I said, you probably don't remember it. But said, this is a night that you won our family to the Lord. Boy, I get on my grieving real quick when you see somebody saved. Well, you said, I don't like that sermon. I don't give a rip if you like it or not. Amen. It's helping me. It's helping me. And I want to be a soul winner. I don't know how much time. I'm 78. Now, my grandpa lived to be 91. So I'm hoping I've got his genes. I'm stubborn like old Tom Rushen is. So I hope I live to be 91 or something like that. But if I die tonight, and I'm riding my brother Terry, and I got saved 5 times on the way down here, we may wreck. Well, he's a good driver. But if we die on the way home, I want you to know, I believe in getting people saved on the way to God. I was down in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I told you about that. But anyway, so you got to be optimistic and you got to be a nobody. I'll tell you why you don't win people to the Lord. You've got too much pride. You ladies are afraid you're going to mess up your mascara. You men are afraid that somebody's going to see you with that old drunk or that old gambler or that old cusser. You're afraid that you're going to lose your reputation. It'd be good that you lose your reputation if you could win them to the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. You know what? Pride is killing our soul-winning effort. We're afraid that people think that we're a fanatic. Now listen, I used to have a radio broadcast down in Page in South Carolina at 9:15 every day, Monday through Friday. And so I had a couple in my church, Wayne and Margie Jordan. They were sitting there to the listen to the radio, and I was preaching on hell, and I said, you know what? If you know somebody's lost without God, you need to go see them right now. I said, you need to get up right where you're at and go see them right now. And her husband worked second shift, and he was eating breakfast, and he said, Margie, you heard what the preacher said? Said, old Will, he's a town drunk, and said, God's put him on my heart. He said, I want you to go with me and talk to Will. He said, that old drunk, said, he ain't worth nothing. And she started crying, but the Lord put him on my heart to go see him. And he threw the keys at her across the table. Said, go see him. I won't do no good. Isn't that awful? And so she left. And old Will was living in a house that didn't have any electricity to it. In fact, honeysuckles had grown up side of the
building, and it was in the middle of a cotton patch. And the rows were planted right up. The only way you could get in, just walk in. There was no driveway or nothing. And Margie got in. She got down to that field and looked up there where Will lives. And the devil said, "You're crazy. Look at that cotton patch. You're going to get scratched up, and he'll be drunk, and it'll be scary." And she got to squalling and said, "Lord, I'm going anyway. Mr. Devil, I'm going anyway. Lord, you help me." And she walked across that cotton patch. Went up there's old door leaning to. Knocked on it. Will come to the door. Old Will come to the door. Had old coverall. Eyes were red and tears were running down his face. She said, "Will, are you hurting?" He said, "No, I'm not hurting." "Well, what's the matter?" Said, "I was listening to a preacher on the radio preach on hell. And I said, I'd say, Lord, if you'll send somebody, I'll get saved." She said, "Will, you don't have no electricity. How did you hear it preach?" Said, "Somebody gave me a little grave." Said, "I'm just thumbing through it and come across. And a preacher." He said, "That's my preaching. Will, I come. God put you on my heart. And I come to tell you, Jesus." Old Will got gloriously saved. And he said, "Come and brought him to church that next Sunday." And Margie shouted the house down. Amen. Oh, you'll forget your problems if you become a personal a soul winner. I want to tell you something. Somebody, now I don't know if you care about him or not, but I like him. Dr. John R. Rice. He looked like a basset hound. Big old eyes drooping like that. And I went down to hear him, and I heard he was going to be in Greenville, South Carolina, his son-in-law, Walt Hamper's church. And I had the sword of the Lord. I said, "I've never heard him preach in person." I said, "Let's get Miss Ruby to keep the kids, and you and I go down and hear Dr. Rice preach tonight." We drove down there that night, got in there, and son, he preached on having the power of God in your life. And he didn't preach wild like I do. He just sat up there and kind of talked. And he'd say something like this, "You know you need to be filled with the power of God. You know you need to be a soul winner." And I said, "Yeah, I need that." I said, "I could agree on everything he said." And then I told my wife, I said, "Just hang around." I said, "I want to talk to Dr. Rice, just you and him, he and I. And so we waited around until everybody, and God worked it out. He was up there standing by himself. And I went up there and I said, "Dr. Rice, you don't know me. I'm just a young preacher, pastor down in Page, South Carolina. And I come to hear you preach. And I've got a burden to be a soul winner." And I said, I said, "Dr. Rice, I need the power of God for my wife." Boy, he reached up there and put his arm around my wife. And put his arm around me. He pulled us up, bowed his head. Here's what he said. "Dear Lord, this is John." I said, "Lord God, he knows God on first name basis." And he prayed for God to fill me with the power of God and make me a soul winner. Hey! Boy, I'm going to tell you, I'd rather be a soul winner than anything else in the world. There's nothing like it. Oh, I've grieved this last year since July the 3rd. I've grieved about Danny's death. But you know what's helped me going is getting out there and talking to people about the Lord. Because there's people out there hurting. There's people out there, they've had loved ones, and they don't know if they're saved or not. And you know what? You can win them to the Lord and leave there with a joy in your heart. Amen. You got to be a nobody. And then you got to be alert. I had a lady, I won the man and his wife to the Lord. And she said, "Preacher," said, "my brother is a farmer." So he got a big farm. And said, "He's just as lost as a dog." And said, "I want you to go down." His name is Lonnie May. And said, "Would you go down and talk to Lonnie May?" And I said, "Okay." And I went down and talked to him. And here's what he said. I talked to him, showed him the plan of salvation. He said, "Preacher, I'm just not ready yet." I said, "But listen, your sister got saved. She's got a burden for you. You need to get saved." "Well, I'm just not ready yet." I said, "Well, let me pray with you." And he had a boy named Mendel. He was 16 years old. And he was sitting over there on the couch with him. And I didn't say anything to Mendel. Didn't say anything to his wife. Just talked to Lonnie May. And I got back home, and about a week passed, and his sister called me and said, "Preacher, you need to come down here to the house." They live right close to the parsonage. I went down there. When I walked in, it was raining. And when I walked in, there sat
mend on the couch. He was soaking wet. It had been raining. I said, what are you doing here? He said, preacher, when you come down here the other day and talk to Daddy, he said, you didn't say a word to me. I said, I wanted to get saved so bad. I said, I was afraid I was going to die and go to hell. And he said, I just got up. And I'm talking about, it's probably 3 or 4 miles. And he walked all the way to his sister's house. And he said, preacher, you reckon God is? I said, I believe he will right now. And he got saved. And I got him in the car and took him to the house. I said, when you go in there, you wake your daddy up. And I didn't, that's probably not the right thing to do. But I said, you go up there and wake your daddy up and tell him that you got saved and you want him to get saved. Well, he did, it made his daddy mad, real mad. Well, 1 week passed. I'm going to show you how. 1 week passed. Mendel had just got his driver's license and went around a curve real fast. And the car flipped. He was thrown out of the car and hit his head on a big old rock and just crushed it. And he lived. And they called me and said, told me about it, and said, they're in Charlotte at the hospital and said that they want you to come. Well, I got in the car, took about 40 miles, 5 minutes to get up there. And I walked in that emergency room. And I walked in there where the family was. They was all crying. The doctors talked to him, said, we don't believe he's going to make it. And said, we'd just like to know, would you donate his organs? We got people that need organs. One of me looked around and he said, preacher, what would you do? I said, well, if it was my boy, I'd want you to donate a liver or whatever, you know, kidney, whatever he needed. He said, doctor, you can do it. And before the doctor even left, a nurse came in and said, you can pass away. Now here we're in the hospital, big old hospital. She said, preacher, what'd you do? You know what I did? I said, Lonnie Mae, I said, I've been on your house 2 weeks ago and you told me that you weren't ready to get saved. I said, are you ready? That old man just folded, went down his knees. He said, if I've ever been ready, I'm ready now. I will let him to the Lord. I led his wife to the Lord. I led his children to the Lord, his daughter and son-in-law. And we had a time in the waiting room in the hospital in Charlotte, North Carolina. Don't tell me, praise God, it's worth every mile of the trip, amen. But listen, I'm glad that Mendel came, but I weren't alert. You'd be surprised when you're talking to somebody here, and maybe somebody over there. And you ought to make sure, talk to everybody, make sure that they're saved. I hope this message is not too long, but I said, P-E-R-S-N-O-A-L, L stands for love. People need to know that you love. Lost sinners out here, they think you're making fun of them. Here's what they tell me. You think you better than I am. And I want to say, yes, I am. Praise God, I'm saved. But I don't say that. But you got to love them. And I was preaching up in Spruce Pine, North Carolina, up there where I had that floods and everything just years ago. And we had a revival broke out. And within 2 weeks, preacher's boy got saved. Man, we had a time. And it was Friday night of the second week. And I was preaching cruel mess. I don't know what I was preaching. I was preaching something, a judgment message. And when I give invitation, this lady about the second pew back there, she raised her hand and she was lost. And I gave invitation, she didn't move. And God said, you go down there and talk to her. I said, Lord, I don't believe in dragging people to the altar. He said, you go down and talk to her. I said, yes, sir, I will. And I went down there and I walked up to her and I said, ma'am, and she said, I said, are you saved? She said, no. I said, would you like to get saved? She said, I would like to, but he won't save me. I said, what'd you say? And I went to the Romans Road, Isaiah's Road. I went through everything I knew. And she was a crying. I got to crying. I said, listen, my dad is a preacher and I was a drunk. I said, I was living in sin, gambling, doing everything you could think of. And I said, God saved me. And I said, you know, Stuart Hammond wrote a song. There's no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do. You know what I said? I said, you believe if God is saving old drunk like me, you reckon he'll save you? She said, I think he will. And she went and hit the altar and she got saved. I mean, got glorious and saved. Now listen, I'm telling the truth and he's in heaven. I will have to give an account of this someday. His name is Noel Jones. He's about 6'5", big old long legs. And Noel was kind of calm. He took off a shout and run over here and run up that wall and come back here and run up that wall and shout it down the aisle and just said, I'm plumb crazy. I thought, what in the world is wrong with Noel Jones? Well, I stayed in a motel, and I got in a car and on the road away to the motel. I said, "No, I ain't never seen you have such a fit." He said, "But preach, you don't know who that was." I said, "What, that lady got saved?" She said, "Yeah, she's the town prostitute." And said, "Everybody in town slept with her." And said, "When I saw God save her, I knew he'd save anybody." Leave me alone, praise God. I'm trying to get over my grief a little bit. And nothing like winning somebody to the Lord. Ain't nothing like winning somebody to the Lord. I read a story, and this is a story. I read this. And an evangelist was in a certain town. I can't remember who the evangelist might have been, D.L. Moody or somebody. But anyway, they was walking down the street, and he noticed in a little cubbyhole, there's a little boy there, all dirty and raining and wet, shivering all over. He said, "Son, what's the matter with you?" I said, "Where's your mom and dad?" He said, "My mom and daddy's dead." "Where do you live?" He said, "I live on the streets." He said, "Would you like to go home with me tonight?" He said, "I'll give you a good bath, put some dry clothes, and give you something to eat." And he told the little boy to go home with him that night. And they took up there and gave him a shower and put clean clothes on him. And his wife brought the big old bowl of soup out there, crackers. He said, "All right, go ahead." And they proceeded to ask the blessing. He said, "All right, son, you go ahead." He said, "I can't eat. I thought you was hungry." "I am, but I can't eat." He said, "Why?" He said, "My brother Billy's out there on the streets tonight. He's cold. He's hungry, and I can't eat as long as Billy's out there." How in the world can we just act so nonchalant as it's nothing when we got daddies and mamas and brothers and sisters going to hell, and we're just, you know, have to go like when they die and going to hell? I'm just telling you what's got me through since July the 3rd. As I get out here and occupy my time when I have a little free time, trying to win somebody to the Lord. Let's stand with heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, because I know there's people here tonight that's got lost loved ones. But why don't you make up your mind, Lord, if you'll let me live, I'll become a personal soul winner. And I'll try to win that husband. I'll try to win that wife, that daddy, that mama. I'll try to win my boy to the Lord. Boy, I'm glad all my children are saved. My grandchildren are saved. Boy, I wouldn't take I don't know if I could stand it if I had a loved one that died lost without God. Why don't you just slip out of that pew right now? Nobody's looking. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. As the pianist plays softly on the piano, why don't you slip out here and get down here? And if you want to, if you'll give me their name, I'll write it down in my prayer Bible, and I'll pray with you. I'll pray with you, and not for you. I'll pray with you that God use you to save them. Why don't you come on right now? Why don't you come on right now? I want to be a personal soul winner. I want to be a personal soul winner. I tell you what. There's no problem that God can't solve. If you'll do His business, He'll take care of yours. If you'll help Him win people, He'll help you. I cannot tell you the secret of success is any better than being a personal soul winner. Now listen, don't just come down here, you know, just as a show, but come down here with a broken heart and say, "I'd like to win them to the Lord." You can get down the aisle if you want to. Just pray there in the aisle. Now listen, I'm serious about this. If you got somebody you'd like me to pray with you about, if you'll write their name down, I'll pray for them every day. But I'm not going to pray for them if you don't do all you can to win them to the Lord. Every head's bowed around the altar. Now, while our heads are bowed, I want to pray somebody back there that's got somebody that's lost. You say, "Preacher, I want you to pray for them." Would you raise your hand? I see that hand. Yeah, I see that hand. See, it's got hands everywhere. There's lost people everywhere. Listen, I'm going to pray for you. Dear Lord, we thank You for Lord, my heart's broken and it's grieving. And Lord, but You sure helped me tonight. Lord, I'd like to take a lot of people to heaven with me. And Father, I know if I'll do your business, that you'll take care of mine. Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. And the Father's business is getting people saved. Brother Roger, you come and continue the service, have the Lord lead you.